Well, even though the year isn't quite over, it has been quite an experience. I've seen somebody in our congregation with this t-shirt, 2020, very bad, would not recommend. And then we have the official flag of 2020. Remember Gollum from the Hobbit, my precious, better than the ring? And then how do you wish to pay? Visa, MasterCharge, toilet paper. If you need 144 rolls of toilet paper for a 14-day quarantine, you probably should have been seeing a doctor long before COVID-19. They said a mask and gloves were enough to go to the grocery store. They lied. Everybody also had clothes on. Some of you won't understand this. I do, though. Dear Lord, please don't let Brussels sprouts be part of the cure of the COVID-19 virus. Yeah, so I'd like to report some people not living in fear. I can't believe it's riot season already. I still have my COVID-19 decorations up. All right. Marty, whatever happens, don't ever go to 2020. Remember Back to the Future? Do you want to dial in? I'm holding up just fine. How's everyone else doing? Well, in a lot of ways, 2020 has been like that. Yet, as God people can, and as they're about to testify, it's not been all bad. Why? Because God is good and God is on the throne and God is working all things out for our good and his glory. And we do have many reasons to give thanks. He has been faithful and good even this year. And we should praise and thank him. And we're going to look at a psalm of thanksgiving today and praise, Psalm 66. It starts out kind of simple. It says, for the director of music, a song, a psalm. We don't know who actually wrote Psalm 66. Some people think maybe King Hezekiah did. He was king of Judah when the Assyrians had swept through and God delivered Israel from the invasion. And then he was going to die, but God gave him an extra few years of life. In some ways, it seems like you could see those two events in the psalm because the first half of the psalm is about, it's a corporate focus and God mentioning trials and challenges, but it uses terms like us and our, the plural. Then the second half, it's more individual. The psalmist himself is saying, I will praise me and my. God seemed to have answered some kind of prayer. Maybe it was Hezekiah, maybe it wasn't. We can divide it in several different ways. It's who it's addressing. Sometimes it talks to the nations, other times it talks to God. Another way to divide it is you could say, open your mouth at the beginning, then the middle is open your eyes, come and see, and then basically says, come and hear, open your ears. I've divided it into some other action steps. Sing, see, stay true, and share. Before we go any farther, let me ask the Lord's help. Father, thank you that we have much to give thanks for. Would you guide us as we spend time in your word today? Would you help us to become more like you as a result? Thank you that you are our God. Amen. All right, well, looking at verse number 1, it says, shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. He starts out and says, people of God, sing. Sing to me. Shout. Verse 3 says, say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. I love this. It starts out, sing, shout, say, speak. How come? Because of what God has done. And he goes on to say, oh, earth, you better be paying attention. And you better be wise, you who are opposing God and his people. Notice how they will cringe before God someday. And those that aren't now, they will. You know, I'm glad with all the evil running rampant in the world right now that God is going to deal with it once and for all. And I'm also glad he's going to deal with the sin in here someday. When we get to see Jesus, it's going to be white, clean, and we won't have any more sin nature. That is going to be great. Well, we get to verse 4, and there seems to be some kind of a prophecy. It says, all the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name, Selah. And Selah is kind of a pause. Well, right now, it doesn't seem like the whole earth is bowing down to you. Though the good news is, in every country under the sun, there is somebody praising God right now. That is amazing. But in the message of God's awesome works and glorious name, that's going to spread from the Jews beyond to all corners of the globe. And in due time, the nations will bow down. And it's not just this psalm that says it, but over and over in the psalms. Psalm 22, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to you, O Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. Psalm 86, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they will glorify your name. Psalm 102, so the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth, your glory. It seems like this verse is pointing to the future, since it's not 100% happening now. But in due time, there will be members from every tribe, tongue, and language bowing before the throne of God. But in the meantime, we still have the privilege of praising. We praise here, and then through our gifts and through our prayers, there's more praise going on in Cambodia and Spain, the Middle East, the Upper Rogue, and all over the place. And wherever these boxes end up, that is really cool. We praise here, and boy, the kids are going to say thank you, and many of them are going to give direct praise to God as a result. I love this because, as they say, sing and shout and say. This is exuberant. This is not like swinging from the chandeliers, going crazy. It's not necessarily emotional, but it is not just sitting there. Okay, Lord, what's after church? This is wholehearted, full-throated. It's not done in moderation. It's not ho-hum. It's not balanced, whatever that may be. This is flat out, completely sold out to God. Some of you I know, going crazy is actually going crazy. Some of you, it's going, God is worthy of our praise. Someone said, we praise in proportion to excellence. We see something okay, we go, oh. We see a 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO going up and down the streets of trail, which we did 5 years ago, worth $50 million at auction. We go, whoa! And I got to tell you, that was pretty awesome to see. But when it comes to God, even more so should we be saying, wow, he's pretty doggone amazing. We better be prepared to praise most excellently, dudes. Well, the heart of worship is what's satisfied in God, and he doesn't want it to end. We've all been to church services where we couldn't wait for it to be done. And I remember my kids saying once, someday, will heaven be like a hymn sing? They weren't really into them. I liked them. Many of you did. But it is going to be a great and glorious thing. And this passage is going to talk about cherishing sin in a little bit and not cherishing it. But right now, and there's a sense of cherishing Christ. If it's valuable, you want him. You want to spend time. So why shout, sing, whisper, scream, state, declare, utter, pronounce, make known? Because of what God's done. It's important. If we don't take time to give thanks, then what are we thinking about? Oh my goodness, there's a million and one bad things to think about. But if we take time to think about God, then we become all the more impressed with what he has been up to. And if we don't think about him, we won't see what he's done. That's in our next section, C. Verse 5, come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. The first work to come and see is that God shields his people. We read, he turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. What do we see? His works. What's the definition of awesome? I mean, I grew up and that was a common phrase in junior high. Everything was awesome, from the chili Fritos to the you name it. But awesome means extremely impressive or daunting, inspiring great admiration, apprehension or fear, extremely well, excellently. Well, what has he done? He shielded his people. We talked in Psalm 114 a few weeks ago, how he got his people out of Egypt into the promised land. He got them through the Red Sea, then he got them through the Jordan River, and he protected his people. Here was the sea, here was Pharaoh's army. Boom, God was there. And over, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, God keeps coming back to this seminal event of delivering them from Egypt. And boy, that's a symbol for us. If he's taken us out of the land of bondage and slavery to freedom in him. You know, he may not part the Red Sea or the Jordan River again. He may not do it for you or I, but there's other things he's going to be doing. Are you watching? Are you looking? Okay, God, are you at work? Well, I still have the Bigfoot hidden around the church, but he hasn't moved much lately. But I remember when we talked about going on a God hunt years ago, how God is at work. He is there, whether we notice him or not. And they said, has anybody seen Bigfoot today? And all the kids did, and the rest of the adults went, what? But anyway, God has been working, and have you seen him? Because guess what? He has been, he is, he will be. And so we should rejoice. There's no river too wide, mountain too high, or sea too deep to overcome his power. And so, therefore, we can rejoice in him. Verse 7, he rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him, Selah, another break. He is giving the nations a hint. Okay, you world rulers, those who are opposed to me, those who are opposed to my people, don't mess with the apple of God's eye. Because remember, to get to us, he's got to go through God. Rebels that pop up will be popped down. Whoever the evil are, God will deal with them. It doesn't matter whether it's Haman, Herod, Hitler, or any other H name to come. God is on the throne. We know that our God is coming to judge the earth. At that time, his justice will be complete. It will be total. The good news is, though, we won't face justice in Jesus. Whew, we will face his grace and mercy. But don't overlook what God has done. I know 2020 has been rough for all of us. We can't wait till it's over, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything's going to change in 2021, except we can bet on the fact God will be there. Because has God been faithful this last year? Has he provided? He's taken care of us from fire and racial strife and riots and economic collapse. He's kept most of us healthy, in fact. We have reason to give thanks. You know, I believe firmly God was a shield when the fire was cresting the hill heading towards Trail Fellowship and half of your homes, all of our homes, in fact. It's like God just kind of went, whew. He blew and the fire stopped and went the other way. I'm convinced that was his shield. I'm grateful for our firefighters, but firefighters versus a 50-high-foot flame and a mile-wide, good chance. Get running, boys. It was God who did that. You know, even think about in Phoenix and Talent. He still was good there. Things got wiped out, but think about the lack of loss of life. Maybe one or two. That's incredible, especially considering how many grandmas were living in mobile homes using walkers, couldn't drive, and they all got out. That's incredible. That was God's goodness. Don't forget what he's done this year. You know, it is true, the people of Israel, they had a long walk. They had to get through the Red Sea, cross the Jordan. Their feet were tired. Their packs were heavy. They were getting weary. But God was with them. He was with them. But think about it on the other hand. Those who were opposed to God, what happened to them? They got washed up on shore when they tried to follow through. They got their city wall on top of their heads. And they had every opportunity to follow after God. Because even in the Exodus, a number of Egyptians went with the people. They said, we've seen what God can do. We're throwing in our lot with you guys. And they were protected. People like Rahab, who saw the armies come, and despite her thick city wall, she said, I want in. And she was. You know, the world will do its thing. It will dismiss God and his people for a while. But don't forget, God's a-coming. He will deal with nations and his people. Our God shields us. But you know what else he does? He saves us in verse 8. It says, praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He's preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. You know, I think about if, you know, with a lot of meat and stuff, we've made some beef jerky, or not beef jerky, venison jerky, rather. We actually got deer, Kyle and I, this year, which was so cool. They weren't record setters, but they're here instead of there, so that's good. You know, when you go to preserve meat, you got to put it through a grinder, and that kind of hurts, I would think. And then you got to put some heat to it, and preserving is rough. You put salt on it, you know, or think about pickles. You put them in the jar, and then you put them to the flame. It's not fun, but it preserves them. And, well, the psalmist is saying, I've been preserved. I've gone through hard, some rough times, but God has preserved our lives. And here we say, open your mouth and praise him. You know, think about all the things that could have gone on, such as fire, such as disease, such as the economy. But where would we have been without God? Thankfully, we don't have to say that because it doesn't matter where we go, his presence is there. There's times as a family when, as we've backpacked, we've come to a stream and we've tried to help each other out. Because when you're slipping and one person's safe on the other side and they can grab your arm, you won't fall down and get hurt or get wet. And that makes a big difference. Just a little bit of steadiness goes a long ways. Well, God knows just exactly what he needs to apply in order for us not to slip. You know, there's been many times. Think about all the angels protecting you in Medford traffic, just keeping folks away. Or you actually were paying attention and not fiddling around with something, and you stopped in time. God was there working. You know, the very fact we're still alive and we haven't fallen away from him is evidence of his goodness in our lives. You know, he keeps us from slipping, and he also saves us. But it doesn't mean we won't always get wet. It's about to be Christmas time, Christmas cookie time, and I know many of you make sugar cookies. Well, what do you got to do to get the powdered sugar all nice and fine? You put it in one of those sifter things, and then you squeeze the thing, and it moves a little thing across the screen, and out comes the really fine particles, and that just gives your sugar cookies that special look and taste and everything else. I am sure the sugar doesn't like that process. Ouch, 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 I'm getting rubbed between metal. This is no fun. Well, the psalmist is talking to God and says, among other things, he is saying, God sifts. Personally, I don't always like this. I like being saved. I like not slipping, but I don't like getting sifted. But this is what happened, verses 10 to 12. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our back. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. These are trying times of being tested, refined, imprisoned, burdened, ridden over, going through fire and water. That doesn't sound like a good time. But note, God is the one who afflicted them on his people. He says, you tested us, you refined us, you brought us into prison, you laid burdens on our back, you let men do these things to us. There's a couple of ways we can respond. God, you're a big meanie. You don't love me. What? I don't like this. I'm not going to trust you. I'm going to take things into my own hands. Or we can say, all right, Lord, I guess I needed a little sifting. I may have been getting too big for my own britches. I may have thought I could handle this on my own. I may not have been looking to you enough. Or else maybe God simply wants you to look to him more. Refining. Boy, that's heat. That's pressure. And that is removing the garbage, getting rid of the rough edges. And it's not necessarily easy or fun. But you know, even though God allows those things, he's not the one committing the evil. You know, think about Job. You know, I don't quite get it, but Satan and God were having a conference, and Satan wanted to test Job, and God said, you may, and Satan came down, and Job faced all kinds of horrible things. His children died. He lost possessions. He was covered with boils. His wife said, just curse God and die, and he said, no. But he did say, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Even when the raiders came, and they killed his servants and stole his livestock, Job didn't curse God, but he acknowledged that God was over all things. You see, it was the raiders who were at fault. God was superintending, but people are still responsible. It's even when he raised up the Babylonians to teach the people of Israel a lesson. And the people said, what? I know. Actually, Habakkuk cried out, Lord, why do you tolerate this wickedness? And he said, well, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians to deal with them. And Habakkuk said, what? How can you do that? They're even worse than we are. God basically said, trust me, I will do this. But guess who's the one that actually did the bad things? It was the Babylonians themselves. And so what do we have going on? The people of Israel are going through a hard time, but yet God is over the process. He's using evil people to accomplish his purposes. Aren't you glad he's not wasting anything? But at the end of the day, God is still worth praising. Even when we're going through discipline. I didn't like discipline as a kid. I don't like it from God now. But I've got to trust that he knows what he's doing. Hebrews 12 puts it this way. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained from it. It goes on to say, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. God was going to take Israel through trials of fire and water, but he was going to be with them. He was that proverbial second set of footprints. Where was God? I was carrying you. That's what he was doing. But the last thing is, he satisfies in verse 12. You brought us to a place of abundance. You ever been really, really sick? And I hope not recently. Nothing tastes good. You feel lousy. And then suddenly you wake up in the morning and you feel good. Your back doesn't hurt. You don't feel like you're going to get upset to your stomach. You can taste food again. And you're like, I feel like I'm in the back of the land of the living. That seems to be what the psalmist has gone through. Man, life was hard. I was getting sifted. We were getting railroaded and ran over. Oh, but God got us through. It's kind of like when you walk out of the dentist after you've heard, you have no problems today. Have a great day. Yeah. Versus when you go in there really dreading things. The good thing is the psalmist is about to fulfill a promise he made. He'd been going through hard times. He'd been crying out to God. And the important thing is he's keeping his promise. He is staying true. Look at verses 13 to 15. I'll come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised, my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats, Selah. You know, Spurgeon said, we should be slow in making vows, but prompt in paying them. And that is true. I swear I'll do this, God. That's not necessarily a good thing to do. But if you do, follow through. And normally a thank offering, you'd come, you'd give, and what was left over, you could keep for you and your friends. In this case, it seems to be, he's like, you take it all, Lord. You can have it. I give you everything. And the fact is that God had delivered him, and therefore he was so thankful. He said, God, I'm willing to sacrifice this. But then afterwards, it's like the mood changes a little bit. I don't know about you, but after the fires, when we knew the church was okay, we still had a home, we weren't dancing in the street. We were more like, thank you, Lord, and exhausted. And probably that was the case for a lot of you. Oh, you've been good. Thank you. The psalmist seems, though, he says, we've gone through this hardship. I've given you the sacrifice. He's been singing with all his might at the beginning, but now it almost seems like he's a little bit tired. But in light of what God has done, that offering was a good thing. You know, as a sidebar, think about what's the sacrifice that our Savior made for us. Once and forevermore it stands. What Jesus did is more than enough for all of us. And you never have to repeat it. But once he made that sacrifice, our response to him is to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to him, holy and pleasing to God. Hopefully, in light of what he's done, we will respond. So you gave your life, you can have mine. And then the last part of the Psalms is to share. Come and listen, all you who fear God. In a sense, open your ears. Let me tell you what he's done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. What's he do? He shares what God has done. But notice he says, he infers that God would not have listened had he kept sin in his life. Proverbs 28 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. But the psalmist did not cherish sin. He didn't mull it over. He didn't desire to hold on to it more than God. Instead, he admitted to God, he turned from it, and God was like, I am all ears for you. You know, God does hear every prayer. It's not like he just has his hearing aid batteries that go click, 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 click. He doesn't turn them off and off. He hears. But if we love sin more than God, we can't expect him to take heed to them. Bless you. You know, you can talk to him all day long. He'll know what's going on. But he knows what's going on. And if we love our sin more than him, we shouldn't expect a quick answer. But if we're aware of it, we confess it, we get it out in the open, and it's good. We're told if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we can say, all right, we're good with you now, Lord. This is my heart's concern. There was a boy that found a big cigar, and he slipped into an alley and he lit it up, and it didn't taste very good, but it did make him feel very grown up until he saw his father coming. Well, quickly he put it behind his back and tried to be casual, just kind of, you know, hanging out kind of a thing. And he wanted to divert his dad's attention, and there was a circus coming to town and said, hey, Dad, look at that billboard. Can I go? Let's go when it comes to town. This guy who later became a preacher, his dad said, "Son, never make a petition while at the same time trying to hide a smoldering disobedience." "Why are your pants on fire, son?" "Not going to go to the circus till we deal with this lion here." But anyway, you know, it's flat out, life can be hard, but it's flat out easier to do life if we're right with God. And you know, we can only be right with God as if we accept what Jesus did for us. When he prays and he answers, that's something to share. And I would encourage you this Thanksgiving to share with others, whether you are with a lot of people or not. Well, what are some reasons to give thanks? Because God listens. Verse 19, "Surely God has listened and heard my voice in prayer." There's now nothing getting in the way of him and his relationship with God. He said, "Goodbye, sin. Hello, God." And that is so encouraging. It is nice to know someone's listening. I know a lot of you spend a lot of time on Facebook, and sometimes you may post things and never hear a word. Sometimes you do. And you may wonder, is anybody out there listening? It may be you voted recently and you thought, boy, does my vote, my voice count? It doesn't seem like anything I voted for went a certain way or not. But guess what? God is listening. He is paying attention. He is always paying heed. You know, I love the fact that I don't love this fact, but sometimes when the kids want to hear what Kim and I are saying, we'll speak in Cambodian, and so that helps. But other times when we forget, and we can sometimes catch them just around the corner behind the door. You know, they are interested in what we're talking about. God is interested in what you're talking about. He wants to know, and he can actually do something about the situation. He delights in doing it. And why? Because he loves us. Verse 20, "Praise be to God, who's not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me." What a gift. Let me encourage you, be singing, be shouting, be saying what God has done in the bathroom, from the balcony, with your kids, with the congregation, out loud in your head. You know, see what God has done. Be paying attention. Look in the Word and look around. God has done great things in the past. We can count on him to do it in the future. Stay true as well. Let nothing get between you and God. Not sin, Satan, self, your significant other. Deal with it. I need a bath on the outside very frequently, and I need a bath on the inside as well. And also share. Share what he's done with you, whether you're with other people or whether you're on Zoom or the telephone or you shout through a window somewhere. Share what God has done. He is good. His timing's not our own. But in time, as we sing, as we share, as we stay true, he will bring us to a land of abundance for which we can give thanks. Lord, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you for the chance we have to be together this morning. We do give you thanks. In your name, I do pray. Amen.